Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
A couple more hours of the huddle here this afternoon on ESPN Upstate. I'm Greg McKinney. Richmond Weaver's here. Lonzo here as well. And you can join us on the phones after this next segment at 844-477-3776. But right now, we want to bring in National Writer for Baseball America, Teddy Cahill, talk a little college baseball with him. Teddy, how are you?
Not too bad. How are you doing today?
Doing well. Thanks for coming on today. Teddy, let me jump in with the Clemson Tigers. They are having a great season under Monty Lee. They have a big series with Florida State coming. They actually start tomorrow, a Saturday through Monday series. I believe you guys projected Clemson right now in your field of 64 at number 8. Is that right?
That is correct, yes.
So that's a big series for them because they're kind of on the bubble to be a national seed, right?
Yeah, I mean, they're right there kind of at the edge. And, you know, we had North Carolina State at 9. And, you know, obviously because of what happened when those two teams played, you know, it's kind of tight. But Clemson's RPI is pretty good right now, you know, being in first place in the division. They have a lot of metrics against North Carolina State. So I feel like Clemson's in an okay spot, but obviously, you know, you have to keep winning to maintain both that position in the standings and that RPI. So, you know, this weekend's a big one because Florida State can still, you know, maybe chase them down for that division lead. And, you know, it's just a significant RPI series as well with Florida State being where they're at.
Yeah, Florida State's Mike Martin about to become the winningest coach in college baseball history. First of all, pretty remarkable what he has accomplished, isn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, when you think about it, he's been the head coach in Tallahassee for 39 years. They've won at least 40 games every single year, and that's just unbelievable. And just how consistent that program has been is really what stands out to me when we're talking about Florida State and Mike Martin's time there. You know, it's just really incredible to think about it, you know, 39 years as a head coach. And, you know, he's really spent pretty much his entire career there. He played there. He was an assistant coach before he got promoted to being the head coach. And, you know, that whole time, Florida State really has done nothing but win. And when we think about, you know, the Florida State baseball program, you know, you have to think about Mike Martin. It's been a phenomenal ride. And, you know, we'll see where it ends up this year. But it looks like it's going to end up with a record.
This series also big for Florida State because they would like to host in the postseason. And this could go a long way toward that, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're kind of more down towards the edge of whether they're hosting or not. And, you know, I think for them especially, their RPI is going to finish the season pretty well. But, you know, their ACC record, they're coming in at 13-10. And, you know, so they really need to, you know, do anything they can to boost that, you know, as they don't want to fall close to 500 or fall too far back in the standings. So know that this is a big one for them. It might even be bigger for them than it is for Clemson.
Just back to Clemson for a minute, talking to Teddy Cahill, National Writer for Baseball America here in the huddle. And I saw you tweet a little while ago about Seth Beer, and it was a pretty good one. Said that if his last name was O'Douls, there might not be as much buzz, which is pretty clever. But what about Seth Beer right now, Teddy? Is he having the kind of year you would expect him to have?
To a certain extent, yes. To a certain extent, no. I mean, he's hitting 285, which is not really what I would expect. But at the same time, you know, the power's there. He's walking a lot. The on-base percentage is pretty good. The OPS overall is pretty good. You know, it's a nice solid year from Seth Beer. I think the strangest thing about it is that he's Clemson's leading hitter at 285. Yeah. But that speaks a lot more to Clemson's overall offense than it does to Beer.
Yeah, so can Clemson make a deep run in the postseason if they don't get the bats warmed up a little bit? They need better hitting.
They do, and, you know, it's going to be interesting to see because the last couple of years, of course, Clemson's hosted a regional, and that hasn't worked out the way that they would have wanted it to. So, you know, this year I feel like the pitching's better, and to me that was kind of where they were lacking the last couple of years. But, you know, we'll see. Some of it's going to depend on the matchups too, of course, because – you know, last year Vanderbilt comes in and Kyle Wright is a huge part of Vanderbilt winning that regional. And, you know, that's just kind of Clemson's bad luck that they get drawn into a regional with a guy who's the third overall pick in the draft. So, you know, some of it's going to depend on that. But I do like this team a lot. I think they have what it takes to go out and win a regional. And, you know, that offense, we know what it's capable of. So, you know, it's not a case where I'm sitting here wondering, you know, where any of the offense is going to come from. It's more, you know, when is this going to click and can it click? And, you know, all it takes is them getting hot one weekend in June. So, you know, if they do that, that, you know, they could go out and win a regional. And then, you know, you never know from there.
All right, Teddy, let's turn our attention to the South Carolina Gamecocks. They were kind of left for dead until a couple of weeks back, and they've started to put some things together. They had took 2 out of 3 over Vanderbilt. They swept LSU before that. Where do the Gamecocks stand in your mind for the postseason right now?
You know, right now it looks like they're in, and it's still, you know, they're still on the edge, but you're right. We had all kind of left them for dead, and then they swept LSU, and that really changed a lot. And then going on the road last weekend was huge. You know, anytime you can get a road series win in the SEC, it's very significant. And to beat Vanderbilt at home, where Vanderbilt has been so good, not only this year, but into, you know, the past as well, that was significant. So, you know, I think that they're in a pretty reasonably good spot here. But, you know, everyone in the SEC is so tight. You know, those standings are so tight that you got to – it's going to just come down to who finishes well over these last 3 weeks, because really anyone in that conference all the way through, you know, 13 or so, I mean, pretty much anyone but Alabama can put together a regional resume at this point. So, you know, South Carolina's still got some work to do, just like pretty much every team in the SEC. But, you know, right now they're in a much more advantageous position considering they're at 11-10 in the SEC. And, you know, they've got their RPI into a solid spot.
What do you think Mark Kingston has been able to do to at least, I don't know if we want to call it a turnaround yet because it's a couple of weekends, but at least get them headed in the right direction? What have you seen from the Gamecocks that's different lately?
You know, I'm not entirely sure. I think that they've gotten some pitching things straightened out. You know, they've found some guys, put them in some, jiggered the roles right, so that they now have the pitching staff lined up a little bit better. But you know, a lot of this I think is just, you know, them finally playing with some you know, confidence and winning some games. You know, they that's a team that just hadn't quite put it all together, I feel like. And you know, sometimes that just takes some time, and in the second half of the season they've hit on something. But it's been impressive to see over the last couple of weekends.
And they have pitching talent there for sure, and that can make a big difference when you're getting into postseason. So if they make it in with those pitchers, they might be able to do a little something, do you think?
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's the kind of team that right now no one's going to want to play. And, you know, when they show up, if they get drawn to somebody's regional, you know, that's not going to be an easy team. No one's going to be happy to see South Carolina in their regional, I don't think, because not only do you have some pitching, but you have some bats that can, you know, make some noise really quickly and turn a game around. You know, when you have guys like Carlos Cortez in the heart of the order, you know, they can really make some things tough on people. So, you know, it's going to be an interesting team to watch down the stretch and then into the postseason should they get there.
What else should we be watching this weekend? Maybe Texas Tech. That's a pretty big series.
Yeah, that's a big one out in the Big 12. You know, that's the Oklahoma State is in first place in that conference, and then Texas and Texas Tech are right there behind them. And I think that the winner of this one is going to be the one that maybe has a chance to chase down Oklahoma State. You know, the loser is probably not going to be able to recover in the conference standings. So this is kind of an elimination weekend in terms of the Big 12 regular season title. So that's an interesting one. Arizona and UCLA got started yesterday. Arizona got a big win. They're kind of on the bubble as well for the tournament, trying to improve their Pac-12 record. And to get the Bruins at home is pretty significant for them. So if they can find another win over the next 2 days, that would be a really big weekend for the Wildcats as they, you know, try and fight their way towards the tournament.
All right, and of course, we have the draft coming up, what, about a month away. Casey Mize, Auburn pitcher, I keep seeing him at the top of most of the draft boards. Is he pretty well the consensus number one guy right now?
Yeah, so we've, with it being the draft, as I believe it's 30 days away now, and so with that, we released our top 500, and Casey Mize is number one there, and he looks to be about as clear a number one as we've had in several years in the draft, that he's kind of separated himself in the way that a lot of people haven't been able to do in recent years. But I mean, you're looking at a power arm who has incredible control. He throws the split changeup that might be the best pitch in the country. And he's been pitching really, really well for Auburn. He's a huge part of their success this season. So, yeah, so to this point, it looks like he's going to be the consensus number one. And, you know, that's the Tigers, the Detroit Tigers, that pick number one. So we'll see where they go. But right now, all indications would be that he would be the pick.
Can you give us a couple other guys you really like coming up in this draft?
Yeah, I mean, so I really like Jonathan India, Florida's third baseman. He's got some versatility in the infield. He's hitting like 420. That's a guy that is having kind of an SEC Player of the Year type year. We'll see if he, you know, ultimately wins the award, but he's really improved his stock over the last year. He's kind of always been a blue chip guy, but he's really, really shot up, you know, and now you're looking at a top half of the first round pick probably. So his rise has been impressive. You know, I mean, we've got a lot of pretty talented high school pitchers running around out there, and it'll be interesting to see which ones of them, you know, get picked and signed and who makes it to campus. And then I'm also fascinated by Kyler Murray out at Oklahoma. He's got a chance to maybe be Oklahoma's starting quarterback this fall, but he also could be a pretty high pick in the draft. There's a lot going on there on talent. He's very impressive, but we'll see, you know, which way he's going. Obviously, people at Clemson are pretty familiar with that kind of scenario with Kyle Parker in the past, and you know, we'll see how this Kyle Murray one plays out.
Yeah, we had Kyle in our studio yesterday talking to him about that. So it's always fascinating. All right, one major league question. I know you're a college guy, but should we believe in the Atlanta Braves, Teddy? What's your take on that?
You know, I don't know if I believe in them as a first-place team in the East. I still think the Nationals at some point are going to pull out of this. But I do think that you have to believe in the young talent. And, you know, a lot of people, I think, thought that 2019 was the year that they were going to be aiming for now. But, you know, it's possible they're a year ahead of schedule. You know, Acuna's up now, and so far he's doing well. Obviously, you got to he'll have to continue to make adjustments. And Albies is hitting so well at the top of the lineup, and I think that's you know, something that can be maintained. And you add that to Freddie Freeman and some of these young pitchers, and I mean, it's, you start looking at like a pretty good club. And so it's just going to be a matter of how these young players continue to adjust over the course of the season. But I think that, you know, you're going to see them in contention longer than anyone would have anticipated this year. And then it'll be very interesting to see how the second half of the year goes, you know, once the league's really been able to see these players and figure out maybe how to pitch a guy like Acuna. But I think that if not this year, then next year. But this year is looking much more likely that, you know, it could be an exciting summer in Atlanta.
I'm sure you're watching Dansby Swanson a lot at Vanderbilt. Do you think he's figuring it out and will be successful on the major league level?
I do. I think last year was an aberration. I think, you know, we expect guys like him not to have years like that a lot of the time. But sometimes, you know, it just takes these kids a little while. You know, it's a tough adjustment getting up there. And he had so much pressure on him last year and really didn't have, you know, a whole lot of protection in that lineup. And there's a lot going on, you know, with just, you know, making the big leagues. There's a lot of adjustment that comes with that. And I think now he has made some real adjustments and, you know, is looking much more like the player everyone expected to be when he was coming out of Vanderbilt and shooting through the minor leagues.
Teddy Cahill, national writer, Baseball America. Great stuff, Teddy. We appreciate it. We'd love to talk to you again sometime.
Absolutely. Always a good time talking baseball.
Thank you, man. We appreciate it. Teddy Cahill, Baseball America. All right. Phone line's open to you at 844-477-3776. Text line 71307. We'll be right back in the huddle on ESPN Upstate. It's Friday afternoon, the huddle on ESPN Upstate. Greg McKinney, Richmond Weaver, Lonzo here till 4 o'clock this afternoon. 844-477-3776 if you want to call in and talk with us. Yesterday we talked about how Jason Witten had made it official that he'll be leaving the Dallas Cowboys, and broadcasting is in his future. It's pretty emotional for Witten. Here's some of what he said yesterday.
Today I've decided that his time has come for me to pass the torch to the next generation of Dallas Cowboys and retire from the National Football League. With that, I never allowed my mind to drift to a place to think of what this day would look like for me. I never wanted this day to come, but it does come for all of us.
Yes, it does. That's it for Jason Witten and the NFL. You know, there was a story out that made the rounds that Jason Witten was offered the job at Tennessee to be the Volunteers head coach. Philip Fulmer's denying that today. He said that was preposterously reported last fall. He said it never happened. He said we did have a good conversation about what it would take to be the head coach at Tennessee, but at the time he was very much interested in playing. He said, I will tell you this, I don't doubt he could do it. He's a great leader, smart as a whiz, would surround himself with good people, but no, never happened. Probably take him at his word on that, that they didn't offer Jason Witten the Tennessee job, right?
They might not have offered, but don't you think they did talk to him?
Well, he's admitting that. They had a conversation about what it takes to be.
I'm talking
try to get him to
serious,
take it.
Serious, yes, conversation.
Maybe. I mean, look, he's supposed to make $4 million plus to be the lead analyst on Monday Night Football. You can make that and more at Tennessee, can't you? Or you can make that, right around that.
Yeah.
Dabo's making $6.75 million.
5,000 more headaches to deal with.
No, I know it's a lot easier job. I'm not blaming him for what he did. Are you suggesting that Jason Witten turned down an opportunity to be the coach of Tennessee? Do you think that?
I'm suggesting that he decided that would not be a good opportunity for him.
Well, I mean, he has said he wants to coach sometime. That's a pretty big first step right there. Tennessee. What does he want to coach? Like an assistant in the NFL?
I think once he gets a taste of broadcasting, he might change his tune.
Yeah, he'd just stay and do that forever. We said that yesterday. You can make a lot of money just staying there and take it easy.
And if he's good.
Talk for a living.
Yes, they will find spots for him. And he's at Monday Night Football. This doesn't happen for people, especially a tight end. It's one thing if you're the face of a team like the quarterback is. Now, you look at most of these other guys, you know, it's the Tony Romos, the Dan Fouts, they've all been quarterbacks. I guess you could look at Chris Collinsworth, but it wasn't like he was offered a position of that magnitude right at the beginning. I mean, he grinded. He went through the years of, you know, making his way to the top.
Yep.
But for Jason Witten just to be offered Monday Night Football lead analyst,
he better be good, right?
Yes.
If he's not any good.
Yes. Yeah, but that job is faded. I mean, as far as it's not what it once was.
I
mean, where it would be sought after more.
But it's still Monday Night Football.
I don't know
though.
When it diminished. Maybe when Dennis Miller was in there, it might have been the beginning of it. But, you know, and Kornheiser was in there for a while too, wasn't he?
Yeah.
And it wasn't that great. I just, you got to find the right chemistry. And, you know, the precedence was set really early and then finding something. And I just don't think it's as sought after anymore.
And I wonder also, is there a little bit of the shine has worn off of Monday Night Football, not solely based on who's there in the booth, but also based on how much more football is on outside of Monday night. It used to be you had your football on Sunday, and then, wow, you got to have this one game on Monday night.
Right.
Now it's Thursday night. Then you'll see Saturdays and Sundays. And then
Thursday night's basically a bust, isn't it?
Yes, but they're still dumping
they're
a ton
do
of
it.
Money
they're
into it.
They're making money on it. You know, why wouldn't you do it? But
well, the NFL says, we don't care because Fox Sports, come on.
Yeah.
Back up your truck.
Pay us.
We'll take it. Yep. Well, and they did.
They'll never put anybody like Howard Cosell back in the booth. They don't want someone with really strong opinions. And they just want him to be entertaining. And I'd rather have someone who's a little more controversial in there to make it more interesting while you're watching the game. And, I mean, hopefully you're tuning in for the game. Last year's games were a lot better than years past. And I think maybe they're improving that. But if they take a step backwards, then I'd just look at the score the next day.
Well, and we have some of those type of guys in the NBA. We have Charles Barkley, and everybody rips him for his honesty and his transparency with his comments about Draymond Green.
Who would rip Charles Barkley?
That's exactly. Ridiculous. I have no idea.
Unlike certain members in this room, I like Barkley. So,
I do too.
Yeah.
I love his honesty because you know what happens? He's saying what most of us are thinking. And then he gets reprimanded for it. And so we've got to be very cautious about how we're talking out of both sides of our mouth. Yeah, we want these guys to entertain us and be honest and not give us the vanilla answers and commentary. But then when they do...
It's kind of like being a radio sports talk host.
Yeah, then they get backlash.
You get suspended.
See, I loved how Stu Gotts was trying to get himself in the booth. I would love to for him to be in there. I just find that would be very, very entertaining
It'd
and
be good.
Worth watching.
Yep.
And he wouldn't care about being a little controversial just for that sake. And he's so over the top, you can't tell if he's being serious or not. And I like that sort of thing, especially when it's a blowout game and you're like, man, I don't need to watch this anymore. But if you got someone in the booth who's entertaining, you're going to keep watching.
But at least he's a sports guy. He's not Dennis Miller.
Exactly.
Stream of consciousness guy.
Yeah. And I like Dennis Miller. He just didn't fit
Me
too. In that role.
He didn't have a lot of chemistry with the guys that were in there.
No.
I think those guys looked at him like...
They didn't want him there.
What? What'd you say?
Yeah. There's some decent Monday night football games this year. I was just looking at the schedule. They open up with a doubleheader September 10th. You get the Jets and Lions. Who cares? Rams and Raiders. But the next week, you get the Seahawks and the Bears. You get the Steelers and Tampa Bay. Chiefs and Broncos. Great rivalry there on October 1st. Redskins, Saints. That's okay. 49ers and Packers. Now the 49ers are possibly the real deal. Garoppolo versus Aaron Rodgers. Give me some of that, man. I like that.
That'll be a good one.
On October 15th. Giants and Falcons. That's okay. Patriots and Bills. Okay. Cowboys and Titans. That's your Monday night game there, Richmond.
Yeah.
You get the Titans on November 5th. Giants at 49ers. Chiefs at Rams. Titans at Texans. Get to see Deshaun Watson on Monday, November 26th, hopefully, if he's healthy. Redskins at Eagles in December. Vikings at Seahawks. Good game. Saints at the Panthers. That's the Panthers' Monday night game. All the way down to December. December 17th. Almost Christmas before the Panthers are on Monday Night Football. But the Saints and Panthers, good rivalry. And they wrap up with the Broncos at Raiders. So that's all in all on balance. Pretty good. Pretty good lineup of games there.
That's a solid lineup of Monday night football games.
All right. We're going to come back with Rich Take on Sports. Are you ready?
Ready, sir.
Because you can't do it without Rich.
We didn't know if everybody else is ready.
Get ready. It's coming up next in the huddle on ESPN. Welcome back. The huddle on ESPN Upstate. Friday afternoon. It is May the 4th. Ready for a weekend? I think it should be a pretty good one. And hopefully the weather will hold out for the golf tournament up in Charlotte. I see a possibility of a cloud or two around tomorrow, but nothing too threatening.
Yeah, it's not going to rain this weekend.
It's going to be all good, huh?
I think so.
You got it. You running any marathons this weekend? You running to any nearby cities this weekend?
Exactly, no. Our run from Ville to Ville, Asheville to Greenville, that was enough for a while.
Uh-huh. And so how was that? Was it all good?
That was great, yeah. Although I got a cramp in my about mile number 15 or so. That was no fun.
Listen, you want to crack, but at the same time, he ran pretty far. I just,
I'm just saying, mile number 15, I would be dead before that. So.
It was good. We enjoyed it enough. We signed up again for next year.
All right. Very good.
Yeah.
All right. It's time to put Rich on the stage here with Rich Take on Sports now in the huddle.
Thank you, everybody. And yesterday, we did get to spend some time with Kyle Parker, former Clemson two-sport athlete. And I've actually got a podcast coming up with him that I'm going to be releasing very soon. And I hope everybody gets a chance to take a listen to Rich Take on Sports. And you can find it at richtakeonsports.com. But it really made me think about something that I saw earlier this week when we spent the time with Kyle. And it was from the NFL, and it was shared all across social media. I'm talking the Kirk Herbstreits of the world. And it was showcasing how in the NFL draft, 30 of the 32 guys drafted in the first round played multiple sports in high school. Now, I know we've seen this information before. This is not the first time that this data has been provided. Last year, the same thing held true. In 2016, 88% of the guys drafted in the first round were multi-sport athletes. And now, as I just released episode number 61 earlier today of Rich Take on Sports podcast with Mark Schlereth, known as Stink, it's amazing just what I continue to learn through these conversations with these people. And even these guys and gals that make it to the highest level, they all played multiple sports. And you know what? It wasn't even necessarily organized. A lot of times, it was just neighborhood sports, neighborhood kids getting together. And so here's Mark talking about growing up in Alaska, and see if this is similar to your childhood.
Loved Alaska, loved growing up there. The summer times are unbelievable. And obviously, I grew up in a time where there weren't video games to, you know, to draw your attention. We just played. That's all we did. And I just think there's so much value in that. And we played everything, you know, from basketball to baseball to just, you know, playing kick the can all summer. You know, we just did whatever, dodgeball, all that stuff, and you develop as a more well-rounded athlete growing up.
I know that sure sounds just like my childhood. And now the debate about the impact of technology and what effect it has on kids that are growing up today and the role it has in their physical activity, that's a whole nother topic that we can talk about later. But at the core right now, we really need to examine letting kids develop naturally with opportunities to have this cross-function of exposure to all types of sports. And that's what our role is as parents, is to provide that type of exposure, to make sure our kids are well-rounded for society and what multiple sports can do in terms of allowing those individuals, our kids, to be exposed to different scenarios, different things. And even though I was a Division I college basketball coach, that doesn't mean I'm this so-called expert, but I do have some experience and have a certain vantage point. And another guest I've had on the podcast is Connor Shaw, arguably the greatest quarterback in South Carolina football history. And so he has experience, and also here's his vantage point.
And I could, if I could offer any advice to fellow parents, and I have these camps that I host and they come and talk to me about it. And one thing I would say is let them play anything and everything they want. There's no need for a year-round sport, especially at a young age, even through high school. I stopped playing baseball and basketball when I was recruited hard in football, and I knew that was going to be my ticket to college, and I knew I was going to play football collegiately. So that's when I stopped. But not only is it good for you athletically, I think it's really good for you socially as a kid. You know, if you're young and your parents are, you're going through the camps all year long and it's just football, 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 or basketball, basketball, you have the AAU. There's so many things now where they create these tournaments in the summer, which just year round, and that becomes almost their identity. And what happens, you know, eventually they have a shelf life. Sports is a shelf life, and inevitably they're going to stop playing. And what happens to them? Do they consider themselves a failure? You know, you don't want to have that one specific identity as sports. As good as sports has influence and can teach you life lessons, you want them to be well-rounded and play anything and everything. Just be competitive. Be a kid. You know what I mean?
Now, we all want best for our kids, but in today's society, We've had this situation where youth sports has been turned into a business, and it's made too many of us fall into these false expectations and belief that this specialization is the path to college scholarships. And I can tell you that this is a complete myth. And for all of you OGs out there, all those people that go back to the days of Flavor Flav and Chuck D, Public Enemy, don't believe the hype. If you're good enough, colleges will find you. They found Mark Schlereth. He grew up in Anchorage, Alaska. They found Kyle Parker. He didn't even really play any type of AAU. If you're good enough, they will find you. And sports has seasons for a reason. It's not good to play year-round. And from another episode of Rich Take on Sports, here's David Pollack talking about the seasons of sports.
I mean, I'm a big fan of playing every single sport you can, having fun and enjoying it, because, like, my son is ate up with basketball, loves it. I mean, like, you wouldn't believe. We'll play 5, 6, 7 hours by himself, you know, making up games, and he loves it. Now, I like that baseball season comes around, because now he grabs his glove and he wants to play baseball, and he gets a break from basketball. You know, he's not doing it 24/7. And then football comes around, and he gets a break from baseball. And you're learning how to use your body different ways. You don't cut, you know, you don't make very many quick cuts in baseball. You know, you round bases, and you don't move a lot. You don't get a lot of exercise. It's kind of a good season, I think, for their bodies to kind of rest up a little bit, too, and not have all the pounding of basketball or of football, because there's a lot more of that. So I'm a big advocate of playing them all. You know, you don't know how your body's going to develop. You don't know what they're going to turn into. You don't know what they're going to love and be passionate about later on in life. So if they want to play them all, let them enjoy them, let them have fun with it, and let them compete with their friends.
Now, because the headlines have obviously been centered around the NFL draft just recently, and we know it's hard to play football year-round because of the demands, and you might think it's only limited, this specialization, to football, but it's not. A recent study in the American Journal of Sports Medicine showed that NBA players who participated in multiple sports compared to those who only played basketball ended up playing more games, had fewer injuries, and had longer careers. 237 first-round picks in the NBA from 2008 to 2015, 36 of them were multi-sport athletes. 201 only played basketball, but the multi-sport athletes were less likely to sustain a major injury, and there was a greater percentage of games played in their career, which only further demonstrated their increased lastingness in the NBA. So how about we focus on enjoying the beauty of all sports instead of making a specific sport feel more like a job and having to go to work every day? Because I can tell you this right now, you can tell your kids there's going to be plenty of time in their life for work. So if you want to hear more about this and what sports can do, make sure you check out this week's episode with Mark Schlereth, Stink, and you'll really love the legendary day of hearing about how he became known as Stink. And you can find all of the other episodes of Rich Take on Sports at richtakeonsports.com and also in any type of podcast platform. I'd love to hear your thoughts. You can follow me on Twitter at Richmond Weaver and let me know your take.
Thank you, Rich. 844-477-3776. That's our number. Phone line's open to you. Text line 71307. Break time. Back with more in a moment. The Friday Huddle on ESPN Upstate. All right, I'll tell you what, guys. I'll make a deal with you. I will let Charles Barkley punch out Draymond Green without complaint if I get to punch out the next person today that says, "May the 4th be with you." My Twitter feed is full of "May the 4th be with you."
Those are fighting words.
Apparently, Twitter is not used for anything that is fun, according to
Is that fun?
Kenny. It is to some people.
It's played, man. It's played. It's every year.
What's your beef with Star Wars?
He's never seen it.
Stop it. I saw it.
How do you not like Star Wars?
It was an okay movie.
Okay.
Yeah. Listen, I don't have a problem with Star Wars.
He reads nonfiction
books. I understand
books.
That That's it's a classic.
Yeah.
But do we have to do this Every May the 4th?
Yes.
Every year we have to go through this? Social media made it worse, you know. Now,
well, of course
it
they
be,
did.
Used to be you just have to see somebody that was going to say it to you.
I never even knew this was a thing until social media.
Yeah, and now it's just like everywhere.
And I like Star Wars, but I'm not over the top.
Well,
Star
I'm accused.
Wars. I'll
of,
watch it.
I'm accused of being an uber nerd, but you didn't see me in here going, "Hey, Craig,
may the force be with you."
I wouldn't because of that tone right there.
That's where you really take offense.
It's the tone.
Oh, yes,
yeah,
it's not what
tone.
He says. It's how he says it.
Should I do
right?
it that way or should I do it? May the force be with you.
I'm better with that than I am the other one.
All right. We have the 2018 Clemson Athletic Hall of Fame class that has just been announced. 9 former athletes from 11 sports and 1 coach will be in the 2018 Hall of Fame class for Clemson University. Some of the folks here, let's see, you have Tracy Leone, first women's soccer coach in Clemson history when the program began in 1994. It's pretty cool. Jim Bundren. Remember Jim Bundren?
I do.
Only former Clemson football player in the class. Offensive tackle, third-team All-American, 1997. First-team All-ACC for 2 years. Native of Wilmington, Delaware. And he tied a Clemson career record for consecutive starts by an offensive lineman with 47. Had 5 years in the NFL. Jets, Browns, and Dolphins. If yeah. you play with the Jets and the Browns, you need to, you know, probably give it up.
He should have been paid extra.
He needs some extra
yeah,
money.
Right. Actually, he's going to be on the podcast
oh,
coming soon.
Awesome. Look forward to that. Jeff Baker, 2-time All-American baseball player. He's still tied as Clemson's all-time career home run leader with 59. How about that? He was went on to the Major Leagues and played in the 2007 World Series with the Colorado Rockies, Jeff Baker. Cliff Hammonds, remember him?
Yes.
Basketball. 2008 All-ACC player, 3-time academic All-ACC selection. First winner of the Skip Prosser Award, presented to the top men's basketball student-athlete in the ACC. Finished his Clemson career with 1,465 points. He started 133 out of 134 games when he was at Clemson. Pretty good. Gary Connor played men's soccer for former head coach I.M. Ibrahim. I.M. Ibrahim was one of the first sports interviews I ever did. I was at the student station at Clemson as one of the three sports guys. Russ Castle, by the way, was one of the other ones. Lonzo, I don't know if I told you that.
The name sounds familiar.
You know him.
Yeah.
And I went over and interviewed I.M. Ibrahim. And I know so little about soccer. And imagine me as a freshman in college, how much less I know about soccer. So I had to go over. That was my assignment. I'm glad there's no tape.
By the way, listen, you've heard him do interviews. I can't believe for a second, even it being your first interview, that it wasn't good.
Yeah, it couldn't have been.
You are one of the best interviewers I've ever heard. Seriously doubt that it was bad.
It had to be bad. Yeah. If there was a tape, I'd prove it to you. But anyway, Gary Connor played for Coach Ibrahim in the mid-80s. He was an 85 All-American ACC Player of the Year that year. Cormac Finnerty, 1991 ACC Cross Country Individual Champion. He'll go into Clemson Hall of Fame this year. Rick Rudine, men's tennis player, holds the Clemson record for most career singles wins with 172. His career victories rank as an unofficial NCAA record. All right. Marieke, I'm not sure about the pronunciation on that. Ressing, 4-time All-American in track and field, female. Earned All-ACC honors 9 times in track and field, 3 times in cross country. Former Clemson volleyball player Danielle Hepburn played from 05 to 08, third-team All-American in 2008, ACC Player of the Year that same season. And women's swimmer Linda Beth Hughes, 7-time All-American, 8-time ACC champion in the late 1980s, also took place in the Olympic trials in 1988. That's a big class of Hall of Fame over at Clemson. And some good folks. So congratulations
Definitely.
To all of them. Certainly well-recognized there. All right, wraps up hour number 2 of the huddle here on ESPN Upstate, but we do have another hour to go. We will have our 3 questions segment coming up in just a couple of minutes. We're going to get back into some golf with that, and we will update the leaderboard in Charlotte at the Wells Fargo tournament. Second day, cut's about to be made. We'll tell you where Tiger and others stand in that. So 3 questions, golf update. Going to hear from Brian Windhorst of ESPN on the Boston series with Philadelphia and how Boston shut down Ben Simmons last night. Let's talk about that some more. You want to?
I'm ready.
844-477-3776. That gets you in with us on the phone. The text line is 71307. Use the keyword ESPN to begin your text message. We're on Twitter at ESPN Upstate. 1 hour to go for the week and for this Friday afternoon. In the Huddle next on ESPN Upstate.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.